Welcome to HQ Wave Radio. I'm Francis.
And I'm Alana. And this is a show about two best friends.
What was your hot take on the fanfic?
Okay, so it's the same thing as the previous one, which is, this is why children should not watch violent TV shows.
Stop like, it.
They're oh my all God. So violent. I almost agree with Francis of like, 12-year-old Alana was kind of fucked up.
Damn. And I love how I was like, wow, I didn't see that at all.
Just because I think when I was 12, maybe I did think about fighting, but it wouldn't be something that I like daydreamed about.
I was really digging deep. Did I know like torture? Did I understand the concept of being tortured for days on end?
I just wanted to add that I'm so glad that baby Alana didn't use the word gorsh again, because it like hurt my heart and mind and soul every time she read it. It was just like so cheesy, even for a little kid. It's cheesy.
Okay, ow, first, but then second, LOL, I totally get it. Yeah.
Was there even an instance of gosh in Sonic?
No, it really did amp up to another level. I do have to say that it is an important like elevation of this was that Sonic's powers were not duplicated like in the movie, but it's actually like a very astute take on it that he lost his powers. There's way more at stake with that. So good job, preteen Alana. It really heightened the tension of the story.
I still wonder what ending I had in mind for that, because it did diverge the movie I seem to be clearly stealing plot lines from to that plot point, which is that he's not just meeting someone who's his match, but actually loses his powers as a result.
I think the thing that was most revealing is that you said, hold on, let me check and see if I hid more of the story in the back because I wasn't ready to put it down yet. And I was like, whoa, Alana has not changed. Like, it started so young.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I do the exact same thing.
It's just such a perfectionist-y type thing to be like, oh, I can't put it down yet, and then cross it out. Let me hide it several pages back so that I can pretend like it doesn't exist and then put it in when I'm ready.
Yeah.
Which, it's not good or bad. It's just very revealing.
It's really interesting. You think when you're 12 years old, not that you're a completely different person, but you do imagine that you are very different because you are a child, but it turns out you're very similar. At least that has been the experience I've had through rereading these stories.
Now, I found a first grade report card and it said, Katie is so much quieter and doesn't talk so much in class now that she found reading. And I was like, yep. 30 years later, the same damn thing.
And that's a perfect segue into our next episode.
Alana, did you want to kick things off then?
Absolutely, I would love to. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Gratitude series, which I have yet to be part of because Francis went and stole the show with that great Chris episode. But today we're bringing in a very, very special guest, almost like a unofficial co-host at this point. It's Catherine. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Oh, hi. I like that I can be like at the end of the credits, it's like, and special guest, which means I get more money.
We'll hook you up with that anchor money if we ever make enough to amount to cashing out. I wanted to take a moment first to talk about something that blows my mind and also doesn't blow my mind. And that is that Catherine recently got braces. Now, I remember when Catherine first told me that she was getting braces, I was upset for her because she's my friend and she was upset. And it's not necessarily the most uplifting news, right? And then she sent me a picture of herself in her braces, and I was just flabbergasted because she is the cutest person I have ever seen in braces, and it blew my mind. And I didn't just text her back saying, you were the cutest person in the world I've ever seen with braces because I love her, even though I truly meant it when I said that. I was racking my brain trying to think, like, how is that possible? What is it about Catherine that just rocks the braces? And I think the reason is because Catherine just really owns it. Anything that she's in, like, she just commits to it and she kills it, and it's just truly her mentality that she brings to any situation that instantly makes it better. And I think that's a great way to kick off this gratitude episode, because I think it's definitely a mark of who she is as a person. She just goes in when she sets her mind to something, she owns it, and she can just make it look fabulous and perfect and wonderful. I just love that about her. And I think it's just incredible. I wish I had that enthusiasm and passion when I was 12, because then I wouldn't have looked as horrible as I did.
I thought you were going to say it's because I already have a big smile and now it's like two times as big. So, yeah, the more to love, right?
Now, girl, I have a big smile too, and I did not look that good. Oh, girl.
For myself and for the audience, because I don't know that I've seen this picture, and I would be interested in seeing like a side by side, and maybe, audience, you'll see this in the Instagram, but what does that look like? You're speaking so highly of it, Alana.
One, it's a very flattering angle with very good lighting. So that helps. We didn't know those things when we were preteens. That's one of the benefits of having braces when you're older.
I was reading something, though, earlier about how Gen Z kind of does their selfies in a different way now. Was it actually something that you or Alana had sent?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't look at the camera. They look at the screen, which I did. Yeah. And it's probably why it really connected.
See, it's just so great. Catherine is just not only her energy about whatever situation or whatever she's committed to or what she's passionate about, but it's also just being a very well-informed individual. And that also just very much adds a positive energy to any situation, which is incredible. It's always good to be a well-informed individual in any big life situation you're going into. I only recently found out that you can do those things before making long-term life decisions.
I think Catherine was the one that introduced Alana to Google.
I really was. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I would talk to her about something at work, and I'd be like, you know, there has to be an easier way to do this. I'm sure if you just Google it. And Alana was like, what? I went in to say goodbye one evening, and you were just diligently copying and pasting from something to an email. And I was like, okay, good night. You're like, oh, I think I'm going to be here till midnight. Like, bye. Have a good night. And I was like, wait, what are you doing? And you were like, I have to get all of these emails from these forms to the email address section. And I was like, oh, well, you can just export all of the forms to an Excel sheet, copy them, paste it as like comma separated value, and then boom, like then they're all in there. And Alana, I think she was equal parts in heaven and also about to crumble apart because of the hours she'd already put into that.
Yeah. And like flabbergasted, I'm sure. My jaw dropped completely. It was like magic. And then Catherine, being the absolute sweetheart that she is, offered to help me figure out what those words meant. And yeah, stay with me late to show me.
Oh, I think it took all of 4 minutes to do.
I know. And what's really nice, folks, is that I think another person would have sent a YouTube video of like, here's how Excel works. I'm going home. But she was so kind and so sweet and saw how ill-informed I was.
Like, Alana's hair was like everywhere. You could tell that she had been through it. You could tell she was stressing about staying up late. She was probably hungry. She was in a bad place. You cannot leave a soldier like that. you cannot just go home when you see somebody in that
seriously.
Suit. If you do, you are a bad person. Unless you have to pick up your kid. Yeah. But the other secret is, Alana, is that nobody really knows how to use Excel, and you just have to Google everything. Like, everyone Googles everything when they use Excel.
Google's like everybody's best friend. You just ask a question to Google and somebody out there has answered the question, and you just need to go and look for it.
Google's really just about making connections, either via people or by your ideas.
Do you work for Alphabet now? Like, what's happening?
Surprise, that's our new sponsorship. Our first set of questions, we want to really delve into your childhood. My first question to you, what were your parents like?
Let's see. My parents are very interesting because they are very different from each other. My dad has always been very conservative and my mom was fairly liberal growing up. I think it really just lent itself to a real balance in our family. Another thing I'm really grateful for is that they are pretty blue collar and came from like a blue collar background. And so I like being very close to that. And I think it keeps me engaged with the reality of the United States that a lot of people in my social circles are not that close to. So yeah, they're really super funny. My dad's side of the family especially are like very mischievous. They're like pranksters, and so is my mom's side of the family. So I'm very mischievous. You're always trying to be the person that makes everyone laugh, except for it's horrible when there's like all of us together and they're all trying to do it. So
so it's just like a cacophony of jokes and pranks.
Everyone's trying to one-up each other because we're all so competitive too. Yeah, and then I have one sister who's 4 years younger. And I always say that I just didn't really get to know her because we were never close enough in age to do stuff together. The only time we were in the same school was elementary school. And then it felt like she was much younger than me then. And then when she graduated college, she moved up to DC and we became very close. We're less so now, but we're still very important to each other.
It's interesting at that age because it does feel like 4 years is a long time. If you're 4 years apart, middle school is like different from elementary school. Probably when you were a senior, she would have been a freshman. Like,
No. I was a freshman in college when she was a freshman in high school.
Yeah. So it's like a completely different circle of people and you're just not around the same life experiences and you get much closer as you're older. Like I've definitely seen that with my own siblings as well.
Oh, yeah, because your siblings, you guys all went to different colleges, right? And like even in different states or something, I feel like.
Yeah, so we're all about 3 or 2 years apart from each other. So Donica and I are about 3 years apart. Donica and Alex are about 2 years apart. Actually, growing up, I was never super close to Alex. We did share like a lot of common interests like video games, but there was always that rift of being 5 years apart, she felt like she was super young to me. Like she could never understand the life I was living. It wasn't until we sort of got closer in age, she got married, I got married, that we became a lot closer because we have a lot of shared experiences now. We are able to appreciate the same sort of experiences now because of it. Do you have any favorite memories of your childhood?
I loved going to my grandparents' pool and swimming. I'm like one of 36 cousins, first cousins. Both my parents come from really big families. When we went over to my grandparents' house, like usually a bunch of my cousins were there, my aunt and uncles who were so funny. It was just really fun. And my parents were very, very strict. So it was one of the few times they let their guard down a little bit. I also loved when, so my mom is from the Seattle area and we would go visit them. And every summer we would go to Seattle and I loved it. It still is totally my happy place. And we would go visit all of, you know, these old relatives who had big, beautiful gardens, which I still love gardens to this day. And her side of the family is so funny and charming too. But yeah, plus not being in school, you get to have fun. And then there's like more cousins there that I could pal around with, which is fun.
How were your parents strict? Like in what way?
My dad became like an evangelical Christian probably when I was in like first grade or so. And my mom had always been religious. And I think when you become a late in life Christian, you tend to maybe overdo it a bit. There's a pretty strict like religious upbringing, but also I think they're both kind of anxious people. And so they're just really worried about something happening to us. There's a very like particular, how do I say this? There's growing up in Southern California in the 90s. there were a lot of very high profile kids getting kidnapped cases. And I think that really burns itself into the psyche. So my parents were like always worried that we were going to get snatched.
I actually have the same sort of experience growing up too with my parents. It's interesting that you equated to their anxiety because they always thought that I would be kidnapped. They always had this fear that if I wandered off to the park, like on the other side of the street, somebody would kidnap me and that would be that and they wouldn't know what to do. I don't know what it is, but that's always colored my childhood. Like they've always had to be able to know where I was at.
Yeah, I remember very clearly. I was 14 years old and we were on a family trip, which... side note, I hate family trips, and I think this was probably the last one that I went on, and the rest I just weaseled my way out of it or something. And we needed some ice, and plus I was like, I'm 14 years old, I just wanted to like have a little space or something. And the ice machine was just down the hallway, and my parents were like, you can't do that, you can't go. And I was like, please, can I just walk down the hallway? And they're like, no, you can't. And I was like, okay, what if you watch me walk to the ice machine? And they were like, okay. So I like slowly walked to the ice machine and slowly came back. I was like a fully developed woman, which is probably why they were worried about it.
I'm picturing them like standing in the hallway, literally watching you walk down very slowly.
I think they put a shoe in the door and just like kept an eye on me, honestly. I was the first generation to probably change socioeconomic status. And I think they really put a lot of that kind of hopes and dreams into me and my sister and my cousins. I think the same thing. Like, we were all the first ones to go to college. And so they were like, we're putting a lot of resources into you. So don't mess it up.
Do you feel like that has changed in these later years as you're an adult now?
In my teens, I just couldn't handle their anxieties anymore. And so I distanced myself, not from them, but from their kind of like anxious thinking. And I think I still am repulsed by that to this day. If we're all together and they go into this anxiety loop, I'll just walk away. Like, I'm just out of it. I can't bear that burden anymore. I think one of the greatest gifts in becoming an adult is realizing that your parents are people and they're just trying to do their best. And just like you're trying to do your best. Just accepting my parents as people really helped give me a different perspective. And also, again, not traveling with them because it's horrible.
Yeah, I relate to your story because for me, there was a shift in the way that I thought about my parents. And I think it was college when I was like, they don't know everything. They have the same sort of insecurities that I do. They have the same sort of flaws that I do. And so I had to divorce myself from that sort of thinking that I had grown up with. And I actually still have the same sort of issues with traveling with them because these insecurities for some reason come out when you're traveling somewhere new.
Yes. I always say you're 16 again. If you don't live near your parents and you go home, you're 16 again. If you are traveling with them, you're 16 again. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kind of voodoo magic it is, but that's how it is. And I personally never want to be 16 again. So I'm always trying to distance myself away.
Oh my God, me neither.
Like, not even how they treat me, but I think like information comes into my head and it turns around and it comes out like I'm 16. Like the things I say and do and act and whatever, like I am also 16 again. I don't know what it is.
I think when you're around your parents for a prolonged amount of time, just the dynamic shifts.
I also lived in a small town. And I remember one time I told my parents I was going to Books A Million.
Oh my God, Books A Million.
And for some reason, Books A Million, like, I think the, oh gosh, what was it called? Like the Coffee Joe's place or whatever in there. It wasn't working. Like it was closed or something. So we went across the street to Sonic. And somebody from my church saw my car at Sonic, was driving past my house later, and I wasn't home yet, and told my parents, like, oh, saw Katie was at Sonic. And I come home, my parents are like, well, you have a lot of explaining to do. And I was like, this is why I never tried to lie or push any buttons. Like, I was not rebellious, because I just knew I could not get away with it. I was a very goody-two-shoes kid.
Why was Sonic so egregious?
Because I told them I was going to Books-A-Million, and then I did not update them that I was going up straight to Sonic.
Oh my gosh.
And if I was going to do that, where else was I going to go? No, I did not have a cell phone until I was a freshman in college, dude. This is the other difference between my sister and I, because like, I don't want to be all kids nowadays, but my parents could not afford a cell phone for me. The only reason why I got one when I was a freshman was because they did not hear from me for like 2 months. They could not get a hold of me because they would call and leave me voicemails on the answering machine in my dorm room. Because yes, I am ancient. But
who checks that though?
I would check it and then I would try and call them some other time. But I was always doing stuff. Like, I wasn't in my room, so they couldn't get a hold of me. So finally they were like, we're getting you a cell phone. But my sister got a cell phone when she was like 14 or something. She got a car. She got to be on my parents' health insurance till she was 26. Like, you know,
younger siblings, am I right? Fuck them.
I was just mad because when I first moved to DC, I was so broke. I got into a small amount of debt because I like was not making enough money to live. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, my parents gave my sisters free access to their credit card.
They're no. To this day, I am not allowed to go into my mother's purse. Like, certainly she would not give me her credit card.
What did you think your life was going to be like when you were older?
It's interesting because when I was younger, all I cared about was getting away. I just really wanted to know what freedom was like. And I remember in high school, if you had asked me what my wildest dream would be, it was like, I just want to drive west into the sunset. And I just want to drive until the sun sets. I just really wanted something bigger than the town I was in. I wanted to meet more people. I wanted to be in a place with more resources. I wanted freedom. I wanted to do something international. Like, I'd always been interested in international relations and stuff. I really wanted to like work in the State Department and be a diplomat or something. The movie Passport to Paris with the Olsen twins really did a lot for me. Also, the movie Winning London, also by the Olsen twins. I'm sure the audience knows what I'm talking about. Alana, do you know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Oh my God.
I know the Olsen twins from Full House, and I know they had movies, but I've never seen any of the movies after Full House.
I hold the same belief as Francis. I knew them from Full House, and knew they were in movies, never saw any of them. Very uneducated, I am.
They are so much more. First of all, there was like a mystery series that when I was very young, I was very into. And they had the song Brother for Sale, which Alana, I feel like if you listen to now, you would still like it. Yeah. But then they became preteens teens, and they had a series of movies, and each one was filmed in like a foreign location. There was like one filmed in the Bahamas, one filmed in Italy. They're just like total fantasy. So Passport to Paris, they have to go visit their grandfather, who's the ambassador to France. And then they meet these two French guys on the bridge that were riding scooters, and they just stopped and they were like, oh, mon chéri, you are so beautiful. Here is a flower. And then they just have these hijinks all around Paris and innocently pseudo kind of fall in love. And I think they like uncover some sort of scheme or whatever, and then they expose it. And then Winning London, this one's really good. They, they're in a Model UN competition, and their school is like in the finalists of the Model UN. So they go to London, and then one of them meets this guy from a rival school who's played by Jesse Spencer, who to this day is on my Hall Pass list. And they are competing against each other, like in debatey, like Model UN stuff. And then there's, of course, a montage where they just are running around London. And then ends up Jesse Spencer is the son of a lord and they fall in love. 1000% have tried to find these movies recently because like they are so fundamental to this fantasy world that I wanted to live in.
They sound honestly like subplots to your actual life, Catherine. Like, replace Olsen twins with you, and I feel like that's the life you would have lived.
That's the best compliment anyone has ever given me, ever. Someday when you actually do have a summer party with me, Alana, which I'm not going to hold my breath on that ever happening, but We will watch these movies because they were like the fundamental slumber party movies.
It sounds like your idea of freedom when you were younger involved travel to a foreign land and then also hijinks with a cute boy.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't talk to a boy until I was like 18 years old, but yeah. That was definitely part of the fantasy of just some guy being like, oh, she is so cute. I must talk to her. And then he ends up having a really nice personality and is a nice person. Not like the other people who hollered at me around the world that were just disgusting.
Hence the fantasy part.
Yeah, yeah. Or it was always like a reveal. Like the cute guy was like the son of a lord. Like, okay, I could be a princess.
I think that's the fantasy of like everybody. There's like, I yeah. want to marry a rich royalty. I haven't read this yet, but it's like part of my guilty library checkouts right now. But it's a story about the first son, and he meets the Prince of England, and they fall in love, and they have like a relationship.
Oh, a gay story.
I know. I love myself some gay dramas, but it's also like a preteen novel, so it's like definitely hitting me at like a nostalgic Wait. Part of my age where that would have been.
Is it The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue?
No, it's called Red, Blue, and Royal or something like that.
Oh, I have to look yeah. it up again. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, are you familiar?
Yeah. It was like a lot, it was the hot summer read.
Oh my god. So I started checking out ebooks from the Alexandria and DC library, and most of my reading list has just been like preteen gay novels or like other gay novels as well, but like those yes. have been my favorite ones. Yeah.
Oh, I am fully in the part of pandemic where it's like I'm not trying to have any sort of ambition other than reading comforting things or like easy to read things that just bring me joy. Like I'm not trying to prove anything anymore. I just like need some chicken soup for the soul, you know. Whatever brings you joy is fleeting, we know this now.
Exactly.
Do what you can to find it.
Your reading interests are right up the alley of a fan fiction account I've heard of. I think it's Hikari Mokuba's Guardian. If you're looking for a light read.
Do all of those stories have endings, though?
Oh, most of them do. There's 85 stories on there. They're all about the Kyber brothers, though. Yeah, it's from 10 plus... Ooh, I'm not good at math. But 2004, 2003 till now, all of the fan fictions ever are up on there.
That's like 16 years ago, right?
85 is so many.
Some of that stuff I don't have saved on my computer anymore because I literally save them on floppy disks. So I'm like, shit, I better keep them up on my profile. I guess I could copy paste them into a Word doc and save it myself and save myself the embarrassment, but it leans too much into my own personal brand.
You like having them up there.
I do. I like being that lady that has 85 stories about exactly two characters from the same universe.
So what you're saying is they are your Olsen twins.
Yes. Oh my God. They're not twins, but like, you get it. Yeah, we love them. I do. I don't think you guys could care either way, but I love them.
I don't know who they are, but okay.
That's all we need to know. Maybe something I don't know about you, Catherine, quite yet. You are one of our biggest stands, so I'm interested to hear how you got introduced into the podcast.
I think it was after the work trip when Alana and I had become friends. And she mentioned that another coworker of ours had listened to her podcast, and I was like, record scratch, like, stop, what? And at that point, Frances, I had only known you from her work bridal shower. And yeah. Everyone was like, oh. Alana, like, we're going to surprise Alana with Frances. She's going to die. Like, she loves Frances. She loves Harley, but she loves Frances. And this was, I think, like, my first week of work there. And I was like, what is happening? And then sure enough, like, Frances walked into the room and Alana lit up like a lightning bug.
yeah.
So she was like, I have this podcast with Frances. And I was like, well, I'm I'm not shocked at all. And I was like, well, what's it about? And so she told me, and then she did try and be like shady about it, like how she doesn't really want people to know about her podcast. Then she was like, but will you listen? Will you subscribe and review it? And I was like, oh, maybe.
I could see it being like the Alana way that she is, super unsubtle. She'll be like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. But then in the same breath, be like, but also subscribe to our Instagram, yes. Write us a review, and listen to all of our episodes.
Oh, there was a point where Alana was like, oh, don't forget to turn on your post notifications for HQIF.productions. And I was like, oh, I don't turn post notifications on for anyone. She was like, it would really mean a lot to her, so I didn't.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Do you have them on to this day?
Yeah, and her personal account as well. Because I know it means a lot to her. It's literally the easiest thing I could do to make her happy.
Oh my god, yeah, actually though, look at me. I'm just like, oh, I'm in a puddle of like feelings and warm fuzzies right now.
It is not difficult to do. So yeah, so I did that. But, and then I thought it was so funny and so unusual. Like you, and they were short too. They were like 20 minutes or something. So I could listen to them while I was getting ready in the morning, whatever. And it really did feel like I was hanging out with you guys.
Aww. This was like back in the day, because like we don't have short episodes anymore.
No, now that you have a fan, you're like, you have to cater to our audience member.
Oh yeah, we do.
But yeah, I just really liked how you guys are always experimenting. You could just tell that you enjoyed this like creative exploration of your friendship. And that was, you know, really enjoyable to listen to. And then I remember the first time I was meeting you, Francis, Alana was like, are you nervous? Like, and I was like,
Oh my God.
I was like, I feel like I really know him. And I have to remember he does not know a thing about me.
Well, you know, like, I knew about you, Catherine, but like I had to be a little bit more, I wouldn't say guarded, but like she just has a history of like whenever she really likes something, she really likes something. And so, or yeah, whenever she feels her, yeah, whenever she feels her emotions about something or someone, she really feels them. And so it's, you have to take that and just be like, okay, Catherine's a really cool person, but is she what Alana is saying? Like, I don't want to like... come in with a completely different set of expectations and just be completely disappointed. But she talked very highly of you beforehand and was super excited that we had a podcast fan and was just like super nervous actually about the meeting. Actually, I remember she was just like kind of giddy about it.
It was like a crossover episode of like my two favorite shows. Literally, that's how it was. Of course, another chapter in like my life is an anime manga. So yes, I was very excited.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I have to remember to be cool though, because again, I am a complete stranger to this man.
What has been your favorite memory of the podcast?
Yeah, I like that you guys are willing to just show the breadth of your love for each other, and also that you allow each other to be dirtbags. Or like when Alana's like, Francis, do you have a story to tell? You can just tell that she like loves to hear the story for the 50th time. Like this, or no, maybe no, actually no, not the 50th time, for the first time, because you guys like hold off telling each other things until the podcast, and that's why we don't know what happened in Spain.
Oh my god, literally something's happening this week that I was like, Francis, do you want me to tell you what's happening, or do you want to hear the whole story on the podcast? I'm like, this is a journey, Francis, there's so many twists and turns, I can't wait to tell you. He's like, no, save it, I want to hear the whole story. I made that note because I appreciate that the excitement goes both ways. I love hearing the story for the first time, and then I love like having a friend that also feels the same way, is just as excited to hear the story.
That's one of the wonderful things about having Alana as your friend, is you can tell her a story and you know that she truly feels something about it. Like she's in it with you know?
Well, and I will say, Catherine, I appreciate you as like a fan, friend and a follower of the podcast, because it's like, there's not a lot of people that know the inner workings of the podcast that like isn't a host, like that isn't actually building the content. You're just like in it as a fan, and as somebody that's like, I don't know, like, I really do find the podcast is, like, really great creative outlet. Like, I was just telling Alana earlier, I know editing seems like a lot of work, but it's something that I enjoy. Like, it's a great way for me to express myself. And for somebody to really appreciate the efforts that we put into it as a listener, as, like, somebody that just loves listening to it, it brings a certain sense of, like, satisfaction. Even if it's just you listening to it and, like, showering us with that kind of praise, like, it's really great to hear, just because Alana and I do put a lot of effort into it, so.
But it's also so funny that Alana is not worried about seeming, I don't know if it's like foolish or something. Like when Harley said that Alana's funniest things that she does are things that she does not do on purpose. It's totally true.
Very true.
And it's so funny. She just has no ego about it. And that's really refreshing because I feel like people are really in their heads around here.
Yeah, no, like embarrassment is not something that I feel a lot, but when I do feel it, it is about the most menial, dumb things that like most people aren't embarrassed about, but it's like the once every 10 years that I'm like, wow, that was embarrassing. I also like my retroactive embarrassment. Like, I don't realize something is embarrassing till a week later, and then I'm like, oh man, now I'm embarrassed.
You totally do have retroactive embarrassment.
It's so silly. And then at that point, it's just like funny.
The other thing I really like is that you let me live text you my thoughts while I'm, or like things that I find funny. And so that's what really keeps me in it is because, you know, I have that direct connection to the host where I can just tell you guys all of my thoughts and feelings while listening to the episode. And that's the good stuff.
Not only is it great to have a fan, but it's also great to what you were just saying, Catherine, to have someone to provide us with feedback. I am someone who craves feedback. I love improving my art, even if my art and my brand is being shitty. But honestly, we've been on top of it mostly because of Francis, not because of me. I'm learning new things every day about marketing. Like, I'm in marketing. So that's embarrassing and funny. But I appreciate, and I know Francis appreciates too, not only that you're a fan, but also that you're willing and you take the time to give us feedback, because I think us as creators appreciate that. We're always looking for new episode ideas and new ways to make it interesting, and so we appreciate you facilitating that and keeping us going with that.
Oh, thank you. I cannot wait for the merch.
So I'm grateful for Catherine for so many reasons. And Catherine, a lot of these reasons you probably heard before because I express my gratitude and feelings for you all the time. You know this, and I think you appreciate it. But I do have my paragraph-long bullets to share. So one thing that I'm grateful for Catherine is that she's shown me a whole new world. I mean, between the Google and the shoes and like literally everything, I mean, that's just something I deeply appreciate about her, that she's always steering me in the right direction and her constructive criticism always comes from a loving place. And one that truly wants to see me flourish and not see me wear tennis shoes for the rest of my life. And like, I appreciate that because I'm 30 now and that's embarrassing. Especially coming from a place where I had friends that didn't always have like the best interest for me. And it was just always very apparent. And that kind of leads into my next bullet point about Catherine that I really appreciate is that she's a super great friend. I mean, she's just always very considerate and wants the best for her friends. And when you're friends with her, you just feel it and you know it. And she can read a room very well. One of my favorite Catherine Corcoran quotes is that she knows how to read a room and does it very well. I know I'm not doing that quote justice. What is it? I think, or is it just read a room?
I tell everyone, read the room.
Read the room. Yes. And she is excellent at it. And she just knows how to make a situation better. There's so much to learn from her. Every day I feel like I learn something new from her. And one thing that at the time seemed very small and menial, and now I'm realizing, wow, this is so monumental. How did I live my life like this for so many years? Which is that bringing Funyuns to a dinner party is selfish and is bad friend behavior. And I don't want to display that kind of behavior anymore.
I would like to point out, it was not a full-size bag of Funyuns. It was like from the snack box at our work.
Wait. Can we elaborate on this? So you guys had a dinner party.
Yeah, Alana was like, let's have a double date. And she was like, what can I bring? And I usually tell people to bring a dessert because I'm not a baker. And I said, do not bring a bag of onions. That is a not good thing to do. Like, you are almost 30 years old. I don't even like Funyuns. Like, I'm preparing a whole meal. Put a little effort into it. And then she did bring one fun-sized bag of Funyuns.
And I did bring the dessert.
Had you been bringing Funyuns to dinner parties before, Alana?
Yes. Work, like, potluck and, oh, God. I'm embarrassed. Okay, but
this ties into a bigger pet peeve that I have, because I used to plan the holiday party at my old work, and it was kind of potluck. And some people would bring in, like, handmade things, like handmade meatballs. And there was always 4 or 5 dickheads that would sign up for just chips. And I'm like, why don't you just do the bare fucking minimum? Like, you come in, you make 5 plates of food of everyone else's delicious stuff, and then you bring a bag of chips. Go fuck yourself.
And yeah, I completely agree, because chips are a lesser kind of chip to Funyuns. It's just very inconsiderate.
So this is what I was like, Alana, just know, like, I have to teach you this, because some people live their whole lives not learning this, and people hate them for it. So I have to tell you.
Yeah, I do feel like there's a level of etiquette. And so, like, at a work party, yeah, I totally agree. If people are making food, you're going to have to up your game. Chips, dip, and soda. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you have to, like, bring more. Yes. At a dinner party, if I'm making you dinner, do not come to me with store-bought tortilla chips. Like, up the ante, bring a bottle of wine, bring something that is a little bit more elevated. You have to match what other people are doing for you. So,
Find out about cheese, though. I was like, because I told her, I was like, my go-to is wine and cheese and crackers. If people say, oh, just bring whatever, like, I'll always bring a nice cheese, like a nice cheese. Not like a block of cheddar, not like a shredded bag of cheese, but like a nice cheese, crackers, and wine that matches it. And it's just as easy to do as going and getting a jar of salsa and tortilla chips. And now Alana always brings me the most delicious cheeses every time she comes over. It's wonderful. This really worked out for me.
Literally didn't know about wine and cheese until I think actually that exact dinner party.
We had a girls' night. We had a girls' night, and I was like, oh, we're just gonna have like cheese and crackers and wine. Like, I'm not making anybody anything. And you were like, this is so good. And I was like, yeah, dude, don't you just sometimes have cheese and crackers for dinner? Like, it's the best. And Alana's mind was blown.
I remember this marked change in Alana, because that, like, for a while, that was just, like, her thing. Cheese and crackers. Cheese in particular. I forget when, but you shifted a lot of where you just, like, learned about it, and that was your jam. I think it still is your jam, but...
Absolutely, yeah. It's definitely ties back to my personality, where I'm all in. When I discover something I like, that's it, baby. That is part of who I am as a person at a fundamental level. It's insane. And actually, that leads me into my next point, which is that one of my favorite things about Catherine is that she is also very passionate. And I love that about her.
Passionate, intense.
Yes, but it's infectious. I love being passionate about things, and you do too. And then you just care so deeply about many things. And the people around you, when we witness that passion, it makes us all want to be passionate about those things. It just makes me really excited as a friend and as a side character to your main character plotline, because I just think you're very passionate about wonderful things, and I can't wait to see where your passion takes you.
No, I really feel like I'm constantly fighting. I just don't believe in doing things because you've just always done them or not done them. I think it's not too late to start something. If there's a better way to do something, then do it, if it's better for you. One of our coworkers said I had the best fashion sense at our work, and I really appreciate that, but I think it's because I only wear things that I'm comfortable in. Like, if I put on a shirt and I'm not comfortable, it immediately goes into the donation file. I just have no bandwidth for things that do not bring me joy.
I think that's a good philosophy in life in general.
And not to say just get rid of anything that you don't like. Like, that's not it.
Yeah, I love that. And then my last point is, actually short, but I think it goes without saying that the other thing that I'm very appreciative and grateful for is the fact that you are so, so funny. Oh my God, your text game is on point. And I tell you this all the time, and I'm always texting back the laughing emoji that the Gen Z people say old people use now, but I don't care because I love laughing. And so I like surrounding myself with people that make me laugh. And I think I have a really great crew here. Comedy Central ain't got nothing on my friend group. And I'm just so happy about that.
I always tell Alana that the reason why I'm so good at the chat game is because I'm the AOL Instant Messenger generation. I did not talk to a boy in real life, but I definitely chatted them up. People I knew, not strangers.
I remember Instant and Messenger and the status messages that you put up. Like, oh, if you yes. had, like, you had to have the perfectly crafted one or the right song lyrics. And, oh my God. Did you ever see, like, Pen 15? And they have, like, a yes. great, like, little segment yes. about, like, choosing your own screen name.
Yes, I love Pen 15. Like that, because that's like the exact same age that I am. And having to like go to your computer in the living room and dial up and stuff. Yeah, I love it. Although they're like way more, I don't know, interesting than I ever was. Because like I just went to church and went to school and did, like that's it.
Okay, except I also had AOL and I'm not as funny as either of you. So what happened there, guys? Like, I remember the away messages. I remember all of this. I'm not a comedic genius over here. So, like, what's wrong? What did I miss? Oh, was it Google? Was it on Google?
No.
Did I miss something?
You probably only like 3 songs at that time. So, of course, you weren't thinking about putting, like, the right song lyrics in there or anything. I have an away message. I'm a dirtbag story. I can tell you real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Which is because I was like such a late bloomer and had basically no social skills. When I went to college, I met my first boyfriend in a Christian group as I had prayed over for so long. And I come to find out I actually didn't really like him. I just liked the idea of him. And I slightly invented ghosting where I just talked to him less and less frequently. And then I put up a Carole King away message of it's too late. And he sent me a chat that was like, do we need to talk about something?
Oh my God.
And I was like, yes, we're done. And then I just disappeared out of his life.
What a queen. I love that. That's some shit I would do. If
I like to this day, I think about writing to him to be like, I'm sorry, I was a young idiot. You didn't deserve that. And I was a coward. And I didn't know how peopling worked. So I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Those were the days, though.
Passive aggressive away message.
I know. Thank you again, Catherine, for being on the show, and not just this particular episode, but for being a supporter of the show, sometimes a third co-host. Like, Alana and I super, super, super appreciate having you in our lives. And again, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for sharing this with me. I always appreciate it that you guys let me into your bubble a little bit. I thought Alana was going to say something.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Sorry, guys.
She was drinking. She was gulping.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You caught me in a gulp. That's the end of our show. I'm Alana.
And I'm Francis. Find us on Instagram at hqaf.productions. We post every other week.
And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
And until next time, the best ship to sail on is friendship.